the University of Detroit Mercy presents another encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor radio program. Today's show takes us back to February 2009.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Kathy Bush, and today we have four of our guys here around the table, so let me introduce them to you. To my right, from the Department of History, the chair of that department and the keeper of our Black Abolitionist Archives, and someone who's going to participate in the Darwin Lincoln Ball, it's Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Kathy. With malice toward none.
And charity toward even those in the sciences. We will forge ahead, indeed.
Even?
Them's fighting words, young Professor Mao. And sitting next to Roy, from the Department of Criminal Justice, the person who directs our intelligence analysis program and knows all you need to know about crime, it's Professor Eric Barnes.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober.
Oh!
It's the motto of the program.
Go for it. Indeed. And that's a great motto. And at the far end of the table, from the College of Engineering and Sciences, the director of the pre-college engineering program, it's Dan, our depths at Manmaggio.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey.
I don't have a motto.
That's okay. You should come up with one.
Please
how about
let me survive until tomorrow.
Yeah, or who's going to pay for this?
that's a university motto.
That's the official UDM motto. That's
right. No, I'm starting to ask that question, too.
Yeah, paraphrase that one. Yeah, really. Yes. Or help the poor my pants are tore. That could be another one. Yeah, there. And finally, on the other side of the table from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, it's Professor Matt Mayo.
My pants are fine.
I know they are. But Matt was entertaining us with a hysterical story about a colleague who actually went into a gas station to buy coffee wearing a ski mask. So
in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Yeah, I just...
In Detroit?
There's probably only one worse thing you could do, like a hockey mask.
I was going to say, what?
Like Jason?
Holding some object in your hand. Like
speaking of which, did you see the post Super Bowl episode of The Office?
I fell asleep during the first.
I didn't.
Oh,
sorry.
You guys got to download it and watch that.
Okay.
Speaking of ski masks,
or
Jason masks.
Oh no, the ski mask bit. Well, this is a show where you can send us questions about ski masks, crime. Dan told us a great story about a guy who held up, what was it, a 7-Eleven?
Yes, with the Klingon sword.
That's, like, incredible.
That's just classic.
So send us questions on Star Wars or classic weapons. Yeah, did you find this on YouTube? I've got to see this.
No, I think somebody posted it on Facebook.
Sweet, got to see
it. Remember Manny Lim?
I do remember Manny Lim.
Yeah, that's who I saw it. It was his post.
Oh, that's great.
I thought you were going to say it was his
He was the guy.
When alumni go wrong. So you can send those questions, and if you stump the panel or you don't stump the panel, you still get a wonderful Tech Day t-shirt, and you can send us questions in oh so many ways.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
So we're continuing with our theme from last week because we're getting ready for the throwdown in Motown.
Yes.
On the 12th of February to commemorate the birthdays of two great people who changed history and ideas and lots of things, and that would be Charles Darwin and Abraham Lincoln. So this will be a duel to the death. No, I think till the cake's over, is finished, and the pizzas are gone,
more than likely.
I was going to say, once there's nothing but crust and crumbs, then it'll be over. And this will be held in our chemistry building. They're hosting it, which is very, very lovely and congenial.
Love to bring people into the building.
Yes, you do. So we finished up our questions on Darwin, and we just got one out of the way about Lincoln, which Roy got right, was sadly that Lincoln was shot on Good Friday. You know, you said that kind of added to the iconography of Lincoln, certainly.
Well, I mean, Lincoln became, because he was seen as having sacrificed his life to restore the nation, the fact that he was shot on Good Friday really built this Lincoln as Christ figure kind of idea. So,
wow, that's true. How did Lincoln's mother die?
Milk sickness.
Okay, a little more specific.
No, that's what it was.
Can you be more specific?
In all the literature, that's what it was called.
Okay, well, this claims that the family cow ate poisonous mushrooms, and so that when she drank the milk, sadly, the poison would have been transferred.
Sounds like milk sickness to me.
Yeah, I was going to say milk. Yeah, that sounds like it. But I thought you were referring to like something like that she
like
constantly drank unpasteurized milk or
something.
Okay. She would have got TB from that or something in that way.
Yeah, but they got some funky flavors from the family cows.
You remember Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah.
Got some
Tastes like it got in an onion patch. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. That's it. That's absolutely. Lincoln was our tallest president. How tall was he?
6'7".
6'4".
He was 6'4". He was 6'4".
Really? That's the tallest? I mean, I'm 6'3". Yeah. I don't feel much like I'm the same height.
People are taller all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Clinton looks a lot shorter. I've met him. He's a lot shorter in person than he looks
really?
On TV.
Really? Because he always looks like, I don't want to say massive, but he looks like a very tall
man. And Obama's tall.
How tall is the president? Yeah.
He's about 6'1" or 6'.
He's over 6'3".
Obama?
I can show you. I got a picture of him.
Because he's taller than the missus, and she's tall. She's like almost 6 feet tall. Yeah, Michelle Obama. Tall. Yeah. She's so striking. Yeah, she's a runway model.
She's tall, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at least. Yeah, well, so she better. She was wearing flats, though, for the.
She got to, because she
I was
going to
say, otherwise, she'd be looming over him. But John Kerry, he was pretty tall guy.
Well, he wasn't president.
But no, he only wishes, or Secretary of State, or the poor fella.
He hoped that he looked Lincoln-esque.
Yeah, poor guy. True or false, Lincoln was the first president to have a beard while in office.
I think that's true.
I think it is true.
While in office?
While in office.
Yeah, true. No. Yes?
It notes it as yes, it was. True enough.
And he was his nickname Grizz Bisley?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's his nickname, Matt?
Stoltis. Yeah, didn't some little girl write him a letter? Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, some woman
said he'd look more presidential. More distinguished.
Well, he had such an awfully thin face. I do think it kind of helps add to it. I mean, because he did. He's a poor man. He looks very, very thin.
I'm thinking of growing mine back for that class this summer.
Oh, right.
Do the
it'll be very white. Last time I had one, it was very red. So we'll see.
Okay. Lincoln loved animals. He had a cat and a dog. Do you know the names of those pets?
Come on, Dan.
Bootsy.
Oh, we have four Bootsies because they had little white paws.
Shooter and Stoltis.
I don't know.
Okay. The cat's name is the same name. It's a male name. Let's see.
John.
No, it's Bob. Okay.
Bob the cat.
Well, come on.
Well, what happened to Bob's tail?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there is that. And the dog's name is the same name as a sailing term.
Winch?
Starboard.
Jib.
Jib?
Yeah.
Jib. Okay.
Jib is a sailing term?
Yeah, the jib.
Jib. Jib.
Yeah.
Jib the dog. Oh, jib.
Jib, yeah. You know, like.
Jib sail. The jib,
yeah.
Flipper the gibbons. Bob, though, that's evidence that he was just a really, really smart guy.
Bob
couldn't even
cat,
waste
that's
a neuron, like, naming the cat.
Yeah, I mean, like,
just
yeah.
Just call him Bob.
Bob
I'm going to save the union.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, really, there is that. True or false, there was a plot developed to steal Lincoln's body.
Oh, true.
Yeah, it is true. Isn't that horrible? Grave robbing is so disgusting.
For Pete's sake.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been to his grave.
I think Nicolas
Cage played the lead role in the movie on that story too.
In what?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, there you go.
That was a bad joke.
National Treasure.
Yeah,
National Treasure.
Next question.
They do know that.
I didn't get it.
They made a movie out of it. Nicolas Cage was in it.
That's not too far away because the tagline for the first one was, "That's it. I have to steal the Declaration of Independence." For the second one, "That's it. I have to kidnap the president." You could just insert whatever ludicrous.
The second movie was so absurd. It was stupid.
"That's it. I have to steal Lincoln's body."
That's when I have to stop making these movies.
Thank you. They do note that they formed a secret society to guard his tomb. And that's just horrible.
They call it the Knights Templar?
I'm just like... Okay, Eric, again, you've done profiling. Yeah. What would make crazy people want to steal tombs and bodies? Like, what is up with that?
Do you really want to know on the radio?
Never mind. Okay. But I mean, is it a psychosis?
Miso-necrophile.
There's that.
There's a miso-necrophile, those who like to punish their bodies for sexual gratification.
What does that mean?
Right, yeah.
No, that's what it means.
No.
I know what it means.
That's what that means.
Try to feel the fire.
But also, you get the issue of
like, that's so crazy.
Well, you get several issues. You get the issue of individuals who want to be close to the individual, and so they believe by taking the body, they're actually doing that individual a favor. They can protect it. They can give it the honor that it deserves.
Like, turn it into a holy relic.
Right? Well, you turn it into a relic or Marlon Brando, Last Tango in Paris.
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely, that was
but
like freaky deaky.
Then you get individuals also that are just have a monetary, economic intention where they can sell parts of the body.
Oh,
you know,
okay, money makers.
Yeah, so
shake that money maker. Okay.
I don't think Lincoln could at that point.
I was going to say, true or false, Robert Todd Lincoln, the son of Abraham Lincoln, was present at 3 separate presidential assassinations.
That sounds too
that
fun
could
to not
be,
be
that
true.
Could be true. Because he did, he was in the federal government, and did, I would say yes.
It is true.
So
yeah.
His father?
Yeah, he met his father at the theater, but he was to meet his father at the theater, but he got there right after John mm-hmm. Wilkes Booth had fired the fatal shots. He was on went to Washington to the train station because he was part of the group that was supposed to meet President Garfield.
Wow.
And arrived literally 2 minutes after he was shot. And then the third time was traveling to Buffalo. Again, he was part of a welcoming party for
he
President
was the
McKinley.
Prime suspect.
They
well,
called
yeah,
him
I was
Bob Lincoln.
Suspect. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like...
It's kind of like that one actor, help me out here, Dan, who whenever he joins a sitcom, it gets canceled the following year, Ted McGinley.
Oh, wow. He did.
Oh, really?
Almost every from the Love single... Boat? I think so. Almost every single sitcom he's ever joined, at least like 6 to 10 episodes later,
that's
it gets canceled.
Canceled.
He is the sitcom killer.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure there's
keep that
more
in
than
mind.
One.
I'm sure.
Okay. True or false, Lincoln was the only president to receive a patent for an invention.
I believe that's yes.
What about Jefferson?
Yeah,
yeah, that's Jefferson. What I wondered yeah. about that.
If it's true.
It's
wow.
saying true here that he developed a device to lift boats mm-hmm, over shoals, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know. But I, that's why I would have gone with the Jefferson thing as well, because, I mean,
yeah,
that writing
yeah,
desk
thought,
and all
yeah.
the different things.
I've never heard
things.
Of
we
Jefferson.
Have the patent
we probably didn't have the patent office yet, did we?
Don't know.
I don't think we did.
Probably
not.
Not
in the 1700s.
And look how Jefferson really thought there should be what? A postal service, a census-taking mm-hmm. service, yeah.
And thank God for the decimal system for our money.
Yes. I mean, but he really felt there should be basically about 4 departments of government, and that's it. He just really.
Although, have you seen Jefferson's map for the proposed development of the area north of
yeah.
the Ohio River?
Yeah,
he had like these 10 states with names like Polypotamia.
Yeah, I mean, it yeah. just, it yeah. was, yeah, yeah, it's really freaky.
That's
yeah.
cool.
He had a great love for the classics, but I was thinking, yeah. dude, not everybody had your education. Yeah. I don't think they could discover where they
it's
lived.
Like Augustus Woodward, when he developed his idea yeah. for higher education in Michigan, with the, what is it, the Carpathalopistomiad or whatever.
It was just like, I'm sorry, honey, not everybody was
U of M is a lot better choice.
Yeah, thank you.
I
so much
named
better.
It that because it goes towards the woods.
Yes.
Not named after myself.
Like, okay, whatever. True or false, Lincoln was the first president to be photographed at his inauguration.
Oh, at his inauguration.
Yeah, it's got to be.
False.
False.
No. Mm-hmm. At inauguration?
Yeah.
False.
At
Buchanan.
His inauguration. This says it's true, and they note what Eric
we
noted.
Had
to... That John Wilkes Booth can be seen standing mm-hmm. close to Lincoln in this picture of
but,
the first.
But Buchanan's was the first.
First
we had
yeah.
that question
yeah.
just a couple weeks ago.
How many before was Buchanan?
He was the one immediately.
Immediately before,
okay.
yeah.
But it had to be about that time.
About
then
that
they were
time,
moving
yeah.
out of daguerreotypes.
Because yeah. that's what's mm-hmm. so, one thing about the Civil War. All like the Brady photographs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those
exactly.
Those are so stark.
First time
and,
ever.
And what is it? Alexander was it? Did a lot of the photography. Some
I know
of the
what you mean.
More
yeah,
gruesome one. Yeah.
But they Gardner, are. I mean, it, but yeah. But it's just those photographs. Even though they're just black and white, there's they definitely tell a story. Mm-hmm. What was Lincoln's favorite sport? Favorite
bocce
sport.
Ball.
Gee, how cool it would have been, but
avoiding
no.
Avoiding Mary.
Oh yeah, that could have been
what
it
kind
too.
Of sports they play back then.
I know.
Polo.
Ring think Greco-Roman.
He's
wrestling.
Wrestling.
He said polo.
Well, he must have been out on the frontier. I would
yeah,
think wrestling would have been.
Remember, he gained his local
White House,
besting
yeah.
What was the guy's name? Jack
yeah.
Armstrong
yeah.
or something.
That he, yeah, that he yeah, that he beat yeah. up somebody wrestling wise, kind of thing. That's it.
The Cleary Grove Boys.
That's
that was
it.
His
That's
his
the
nemesis.
Title. Okay, true or false? Lincoln had relatives that fought on the Confederate Army.
That's probably true.
Yeah, he
it's a
did.
Small country.
Yeah.
At
well,
that time,
yeah. In fact, it notes that he had half brothers and brothers in law.
Did you know that Jefferson Davis and Abraham Lincoln were born about 18 miles apart
Jeez.
In Kentucky? Yes.
That was that close. I thought it was a little further, but
no,
knew they were
about
both from Kentucky.
Miles apart.
Wow,
yeah.
mm-hmm. that's amazing. What was the name of the play that Lincoln was attending when he was shot?
Our American Cousins.
Yeah, that's. What's interesting is notes here that the same play was also running at the McVeigh Theater in Chicago the day that Lincoln was nominated to be president
wow, wow.
at the convention in that city. So
but
it kind of was
that.
Like the...
If he'd
yeah,
won
thank
that
you, instead of the other one. Because wasn't that... I mean, that was a huge thing that
mm-hmm.
Booth was an actor. The family
that's
was
right.
in acting,
yeah,
so he
right.
had access to the theater
yeah.
and knew their schedule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's such a... Ooh, oh my goodness. True or false, Lincoln had a substitute that fought for him during the Civil War.
False.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of, based on what that actually means,
means
right?
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What do you mean substitute?
I mean, like,
what do you
well,
mean?
Now, as Roy and I could explain that there were paid substitutes, that there were some people who actually bought substitutes,
right.
and it was a big money Well, $300.
Would probably be true then if that in that instance, if you were obligated to be involved.
Well, he was the commander in chief. He had to fight, right? So, is it?
They say true. They say true. Not a paid substitute. The man's name was J. Summerfield Staples, who was the son of an army chaplain, and he heard that Lincoln felt that the president should fight in the war, but couldn't because of all of his duties. So Staples volunteered to fight as his substitute. Both he and his father survived throughout the war, Staples and his father, and returned home to Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
They found an office supply store.
There you go. And if in the cemetery there, there's a headstone that reads, J. Summerfield Staples, a private of company 176, a member of the 2nd Regular Volunteers, and a substitute for Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
So while we think about that, let's take a break.
I don't think there's any substitute for Abraham Lincoln.
No.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents
Unplugged.
If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'll be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this. So,
hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, the University of Detroit Mercy prevents Esser Professor as if they could try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
And they failed.
We're
That's
still
right.
here and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
And we're back. And Matt brought up an interesting question during break about presidents and fighting during wartime or serving their country.
The commander in chief means you actually lead the army.
Army,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So
Bush in Iraq. He Turkey. Yeah.
That's right. He did his mission accomplished. Yeah. Remember?
But a shoot-proof vest.
Yeah. Well, Michael Jason, our marvelous producer of the show, had something here about Lincoln having a strong interest in new technology and was the only U.S. president to hold a patent.
Okay.
Well, yeah, as a young man, Lincoln took a boatload of merchandise down the Mississippi River from New Salem to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. At one point, the boat slid into a dam and was set free only after heroic and tough efforts. So years later, while traveling on the Great Lakes, Lincoln's ship ran foul of a sandbar. So these two experiences led him to conceive this invention. He received patent number 6,469 for a device for buoying vessels over shoals that was granted on May 22nd. 1849.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, in 1858, Lincoln called the introduction of patent law as one of the three most important developments in the world's history, along with the discovery of America and the perfection of the printing press. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Short list.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But, you know, smart guy. What do you think George Bush would have invented? We don't want to know. You're
that's
right.
That's not answered.
He had trouble with pretzels. So.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I just not there. Okay. True or false, Lincoln is the U.S. president most frequently portrayed in film?
False.
I want to say false.
I'm going to say overall true.
Roy's got it.
Because he's been in a lot. Okay.
Yeah, no, there's been a ton of, well, you're doing that class this summer about Lincoln.
You're
going
to dress up as Lincoln?
He was talking. Yeah.
I don't have quite the physique.
No, but I mean, some of them are a little hokey. I mean, very hokey. Or his appearance in films, like
Bill and Ted's.
Yeah. Okay, well. But for example, in A Birth of a Nation, that characterization of him in is or Young Abe Lincoln or Lincoln. And, there's a number.
Yeah, we're gonna talk in general the one day about Lincoln in film, but the two I'm showing them are. Young Mr. Lincoln and Abe Lincoln in Illinois.
Okay. What did you think about the Gore Vidal book on Lincoln?
I thought it was very interesting. Provides a unique perspective, and we're gonna have them read that.
Oh, good. Yeah, because it's highly readable.
Mm-hmm.
What birth defects or defects did Lincoln have?
The mole.
Are we talking physical?
Physical, yes.
Does he have a problem with his leg? No.
They don't list anything about the leg.
No, all right, then.
But they must do know something on his right cheek.
The mole.
The mole or wart, yeah. Okay.
That's not really
I was
going to
ask which cheek.
Is it?
Yeah. And also noticed that he had a scar on his thumb from an axe accident.
That's not a birth.
That's not a birth defect.
Birthmark, I know.
It's an accident.
It is. Yes, indeed.
Who wrote this stuff?
Well, you know, there it is. Okay.
I'm gonna send Dan to come beat you up.
I was gonna say Dan's going just get to this. True or false? John Wilkes Booth's brother once saved Abraham Lincoln's son's life.
Oh man,
true. That's got to be true.
It is true.
That's true.
Were there like 10 people in the country?
I know. It like, make you wonder, like, what
the heck
was going on here?
2 degrees of John
of separation.
This was all scripted.
Who was Lincoln named after?
Abraham, father of nations? This is a wild stab.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that it originally came from that biblical source.
So
but
something a little close to
somebody
him.
A little closer to
his
home.
His rabbi.
His father?
Not father.
Grandfather.
Yeah, he was named after his grandfather. Yeah, I wonder how many rabbis that were roaming around in the Northwest Territory.
In Western Kentucky.
Yeah, about Zippo. I'm trying to think. Yeah, Illinois.
Well, there's
Indiana.
A possibility in Louisville at that time there might have been a Jewish congregation. But
yeah.
The numbers would have been real limited. Yeah.
Okay. Who was Lincoln's favorite author?
Oh, he liked Defoe. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be funny if
liked,
the answer was Darwin?
He liked Pilgrim's Progress. He liked
Buchanan.
He liked Pilgrim's Progress. Yeah.
This claims
American?
An American author.
American?
Yeah, an American author who sometimes is thought to be a bit macabre.
Poe?
Yes, Edgar Allan
Poe. There's been a recent Poe anniversary, too, that I totally missed. 200th anniversary of his birth was a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually say the Raven for Claire Crabtree. Yeah, you have to do it next Wednesday. I do that for a poetry
That's
class.
Awesome.
Yeah,
excellent.
I do that every time she teaches
you
poetry.
Are you the Poe Toaster?
I recite it.
That's what I meant.
Quote
no,
the
no,
Raven.
Reading and reciting is totally
it's
different.
It's very different. Eric has it memorized.
Oh, okay.
John Paul Stevens.
I mean,
John Roberts. John Paul Stevens. John Roberts.
Yeah.
I recite it. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
But now Poe, I know Baltimore always claims him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's New Yorkers.
Hence the name of the NFL franchise.
Yeah, that's right.
He used to drink opium, though.
Oh, was that true?
He drank liquid opium.
He died. One of the reasons I'm sure he died as young as he did.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
He drank the liquid opium.
That's poor man. Okay. True or false? Lincoln believed in seances.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
His wife.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought the wife had the interest.
Spiritualism was a big deal
more.
Back in the
yes,
mid
it really
19th
was.
Century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, probably because death was so very close in so many ways, you know.
Yeah.
Well, no, and I mean, just the whole Victorian mystique of death, of bringing everyone to the deathbed, and then the whole ritual of the...
Staying at home for a little while.
Oh, yeah, Dan, it was like they wanted to make sure every child was present, the whole bit,
I mean, it's the reason we have flowers at funerals.
Funerals,
because they kept them at home, and the flowers were covering the smell.
I'm old enough, and I don't know, to actually have... relatives, older relatives.
Wait to your home.
We went to their home to see the body.
Wow. Yeah. Because usually it was in the parlor of the house.
Yeah. Well,
and in many Irish families,
and then you move him out on the front porch. And
that's the only time that the old fella made it into the parlor. Usually he is behind, was in the kitchen, but he made it into the parlor when he was finally laid out. Wow. Absolutely. You might have to move the piano, but there they were. Absolutely in that way. And our last question on Lincoln. True or false, Lincoln was the first president to be born outside of the original 13 colonies. First president to be born outside of the original 13
born?
Colonies.
Probably true, because some of those people like Jackson and Polk were probably born in the Carolinas.
Yeah, it is true. They were.
Wow,
yeah, so, you know, so think about it. He really had a great deal of new and kind of modern things going on that way.
Well, and our current president, who likes Lincoln, was our... probably our first president born outside of the continental United States.
Yeah, that's true.
And spent 4 years in Indonesia.
Well, and that's Ote, too. We got to say bye to Dan.
Bye.
He's speaking a skeptic tonight.
Go in peace, Dan.
That's right. Okay.
Don't kill anybody with your Klingon sword.
The Lincoln story of the moment is that, for those who may be listening and not know, the chair that Lincoln was shot in at Ford's Theater is at the Henry Ford, right?
Yes.
And my wife's assistant registrar there, and apparently a local area history teacher in grade school, shall go unnamed, mentioned that chair was actually a fake, that it was not the original chair, even though there's plenty of provenance at the museum to prove this. The downfall for the teacher was that he or she, whoever, did not know that the daughter of the president of the Henry Ford is one of her students. So when that was discussed over dinner that night, Patricia Moradian, the president of the Henry Ford, said, why don't you tell your teacher she can have a free tour down at the Henry Ford?
Thank you.
My wife gave the tour. This is how I know this. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh my goodness.
Be careful what you say.
Right. Especially when you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, and I think that it's just, I mean, it's just so unassuming. They still just have this plexiglass shell around it. I just think that it's fascinating.
It is.
It's just kind of
totally
just there, you know, and there's the blood stain and everything.
Blood stain,
it's
crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. I mean, the tour that you can get in Washington at Ford's Theater is terribly interesting.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
it
man,
really, really is. We had to make that stop before we went to do Civil War battle sites with Dad. He was totally big on those. Okay. But, I mean, he said, you know, these are important things. This country was literally torn in half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that, and as he put it, warfare at that time was up close and personal.
Yes, it was, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the weird thing when
not
you go down to Gettysburg.
Not quite as up close and personal as it was in the Revolutionary
no,
War.
No, no, no. But, still, I mean, when you look at, like, Pickett's Charge or when you look at, the, you know, it that's just the distances.
Reform your regiment. I have no regiment.
And that's what I mean. It's like, where is everybody?
Chamberlain.
They're, you know, they're dead. But, I mean, it's just amazing when you think how close
fixed
these
bayonets.
Armies came. Yeah.
Chamberlain fixed the bayonets, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like we're running low on
ammo.
And
put the bayonet on there.
Yeah, and people are just charging and charging. So, yeah, I think the whole bit of it is really, really fascinating.
And the first time anybody not involved in the war could actually see images of war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And for those of Gettysburg, the film did such a good job of portraying that.
That was outstanding.
Yeah, those are the kind of films people should see a lot of.
Well, the fact it was 4+ hours kind of worked.
Well, you can do it in that amount of time. Yeah. You know, you really can. I don't know if any of you have seen the film Defiance.
No, yet? Not yet.
Heard about
do
it.
See it. Really, really, because I'm telling you, whoever did the filming and who decided how to film those scenes, especially with these partisans and the fighters against the Germans, it's absolutely amazing. Right. But
it has James Bond.
But my only objection to the film is that everyone's teeth are way too good.
It's good,
I'm sorry. So, there's just something like, I'm sorry, folks, but, you know, if
Vinci
you...
Veneers
there's got to be something done that way. Okay. There we go. Well, let me thank our panel. Professor Maya.
See ya.
Professor Barnes.
See you later.
Professor Finkenbein.
67 years
Absolutely. Now, this word from the University of Detroit Mercy.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always.
Right.
On his right, from the Department of Theater and Performing Arts, Professor Arthur Beer. It's been a long 3 weeks. And on Arthur's right, from the Department of History and the Assistant Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and the Director of the Learning Center, Kathy Bush.
I'm too tired to say hello.
I know, it's one of those months. Anyway, and on my left, from the Department of History, the chair of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Why, Evan, you must have whose car is in the way. I just want to get out, but I can't, because there's that car in my way.
It's Rosalind Carter.
I've been trying to back up, but I just can't.
She's been hitting my car.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Communication Studies Department radio studios here at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, and wonderfully enhanced by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Come on, Titans, let's win!